Welcome, everyone. How are you today?
Great. Good. Thank you. How are you?
We're talking about pets, and I'm glad that Hazel didn't bring her bird, because Joey likes to talk too much, you know. But Hazel, you have some very cute dogs. How many dogs does Hazel have?
Four dogs and two birds.
How come you have four dogs? Did people just not want their pets or what?
Well, the oldest one I have, I got as a puppy. Nobody wanted it. Mm-hmm. And then the other two are miniature poodles, and I did want those.
Is it?
I really wanted a big poodle, but I already had three dogs. That was too much. So. But then someone had a big poodle, and they couldn't keep it.
And it
needed to be... It wasn't as well cared for as it should have been, so mm-hmm. I decided to take it.
Don't give Hazel any more dogs. If you're listening in, please. Because Hazel's
I'm not looking for any more pets right now.
But they are nice.
They are compassion for dogs.
Right. Yeah. Well, we always had dogs and cats, and I think it's good for kids to have the responsibility of knowing how to take care of a pet when they're little and not poke at their eyes and shout at them. And, you know, it's good to start out. There's a lot of pictures you see of babies with their pets. Pets take care of them. Don't you think it's good to start when they're small?
It is.
If you train them.
I don't know why parents let their children annoy pets.
Right.
It's not only bad for the pet, but they could be bitten or hurt.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's not really the pet's fault if the child is not.
No, you have to train the children, not the pets.
Exactly.
The pets are okay. It's children.
Exactly. And a lot of times parents will get their child a pet just because the child
like a toy.
I want a dog. Okay, here you go. Yeah. But then when they get older, they don't want to take responsibility for it.
Right. Or they don't want to take... Usually parents have to say, okay, if you get a dog or cat, you have to take care of it. You have to feed it or comb it and give them responsibility. That's good. And not just like a toy. I don't want to play with you now and hit it. You have to teach kids how to take care of them.
That's right. And also think about which pet is the most suitable pet for a child.
Right, and nowadays a lot of people live in apartments and all, and they shouldn't have great big dogs because those dogs need to exercise and run, and they can't get that always, you know.
Right.
So it's much better to have the smaller kinds of pets, like little Japanese dogs or some of these pets that are a little bit smaller for apartments, and birds might be okay.
You can read a lot and find out what is the most suitable pet for an apartment or for
you should find
the
out,
time
right.
you have or the exercise you can give it.
You know, I feel bad when I see these Alaskan dogs that are made for the cold, icy area, and they bring them in a subtropical country, and then all of a sudden these dogs are just too hot, and they shave them.
It's still not good. It's not good, but I think those people will leave the air conditioning on, so they must have a big bill.
I
keep them clipped. So I have seen some owners who do try to be responsible.
Right.
But it's better
to think about a pet that's suited for that climate.
Yeah, that's something to think about.
So you don't just say, oh, that dog's cute, let's get it. You have to think about it.
Exactly.
Do a little bit of research first, see? Mm-hmm. So our article on page 15 is not just talking about loving pets, but it's talking about how we can take care of them, and one of them is they need vet service. What kind of service do veterinarians give to our pets?
Well, they can neuter or spay a dog so it won't have unwanted puppies. They give it vaccinations so that it won't get diseases. They take care of small injuries.
Pets have things like they get worms that they get from being out in the street, and they can give them.
Eat cell phones and things as well.
Do that. But I think that, you know, the main thing is that they also sometimes they get things where they get ticks and things and they itch and they scratch and they give you medicine to take care of some of these things.
Right. And actually there's a lot of medication that you give your pet once a month to keep it from getting fleas and things. And believe me, it adds up. It's expensive to have a pet.
Yeah. But they're nice, and, you know, they said it can change a person's life, and they're finding now that a lot of these retirement homes and places where older people go, that the people are a lot happier if they have dogs or cats or pets around, and it makes a big difference in the lives of these people.
Yeah, now that I have Suki, I got Suki 5 years ago when I lived in Korea, and before I had Suki, I was kind of out hanging out with my friends, but then when I got him, I didn't want to hang out with my friends. I'm always at home taking care of Suki, and I kind of grew up a little bit. Like, I learned how to really take care of my animal.
Well, and don't you feel like when you get through work and you go home, you expect to have your cat meet you when you go home?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not there, it seems kind of empty, right?
Yeah, that's right. I come home and he always greets me and rubs against my leg and starts purring.
So somebody's kind of waiting for you at home.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah. Well, I see Hazel taking her dogs out to the park, and they all seem to be having a good time. And it's kind of fun. It's a job, but it's fun.
And I used to take the one little poodle to the hospital to visit elderly patients.
That was fun.
And like you said, they enjoy that.
Oh, they do. It means a lot to them. Especially poodles. They got all that curly, furry hair. They think it's so much fun, right? So our article, then, is talking about a place, then, that has vet care. It's kind of a clinic. And tell us more about what we mentioned yesterday.
Well, the idea is to have a model for other veterinarians, and his model is high volume and low cost.
Mm-hmm.
So they they treat a lot of pets, and they lower the cost.
We know a lot about the people clinics, but there's pet clinics too. And there's sometimes we see them in Taipei, different places that are open 24 hours. If your pet gets sick in the middle of the night, what are you going to do? They're coughing and they can't stop or something. And you've got to go to one of those places. So you need to find out where these emergency pet clinics are, because your vet probably won't be open, right?
That's true.
Okay.
So, it's a good point. I think we've all had those times when we think, oh, no, what can I do?
It's late at night,
situation.
Okay, so let's look at page 15 today. And we were talking about this business. And a lot of people use the one that this Gary Silvergut has as kind of an example. Now, it wasn't easy for him to start this because it costs a lot of money to do all these things. So let's find out more about it as we read on page 15, the first two or three paragraphs.
Building the business didn't come easy for Silverglatt. He estimates he's pumped several million dollars of his own money into his business over 13 years and continues to reap little financially. Silverglatt is not a veterinarian, but he has what he calls a natural passion for animals. Passion in action. When he and his wife Lisa moved to the rural area, they saw a tremendous number of abandoned animals. That's when the entrepreneur decided that he and his wife needed to take action. We kept a lot of the abandoned animals at first, but then we realized we couldn't keep 27 animals and we needed to start a business to fix this, he said. So even though we started our business rescuing animals, we figured out we could save even more animals by offering low prices for veterinary services. Once people learned that they could get the same quality at much less cost, they kept coming and coming.
Well, building any kind of a business doesn't come easy. You know, they call these startups. When you start something new, it costs money, doesn't it?
Yes, and here it says that he pumped several million dollars into his business, which means he spent a lot of his own money.
I don't have several million dollars. I mean, how would you like to have several million to start your business, Hazel?
Well, I wouldn't need to start a business if I had several million. But sure.
You must have had the money, yeah.
It's very risky for him. So he must really care about pets. He pumped his own money into this business. So.
Right. In other words, it was non-profit. There was no profit. In fact, he was putting the money of his own money into it because it wasn't paying off.
Right.
But he still did it.
And that wasn't right away. It took over 13 years and continuous.
Well, he's not even a vet.
Right. He's not a veterinarian, but he has such a passion for animals.
It's good. With people that have this passion for animals, they've done things to have shelters for the stray dogs and cats in many cities around the world. And what do people do that have a passion for animals? They try to protect the wildlife, and they do a lot of things.
Sure, they try to help them because we know that the animals can't help themselves. In the wild, you know, animals take care of themselves. But, of course, when we want them as pets, they can.
But even in the wild, they have to take care of them so people don't go out and shoot all the elephants and the tigers.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so if you have a passion for animals, you want to try to save them, whether they're wild or tame, right?
Right, that's right.
Yeah. So this man, he cares about them, and I think that's good. And there's a picture of him over here on page 15. You can see what he looks like. And he has this passion for animals. Now, if you have a passion for animals, I just love animals, and you don't do anything about it, that's not very good. You have to have passion in action. If you believe in something, then do something about it.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, like, I really like reading articles like this because this is something I've always dreamed of doing ever since I was a young girl, because I've always had a natural passion for animals. But if I myself had millions and millions of dollars, this is something
I
would do.
I don't think you make it known that way. Not working in studio classroom. But, you know, it's really good that people get put their money together and donate and help. And so he started this because he was already a businessman, wasn't he?
Right. He was an entrepreneur, and it seems like he was wealthy enough to invest in something that he had a passion for.
It's nice that his wife believes in it, too, because she might say, why are you spending all that money? I mean, you know, this is our money, and you're spending it all on those stray animals. But his wife was in it with him.
Right, and so it begins to tell the story of how they got interested in this idea.
And how did they get started, Hazel?
Well, they moved to a rural area, so they moved maybe to the countryside, and they saw a tremendous number of abandoned animals.
Now, that's terrible. To abandon means to just let them go. They just drop them off on the street or any place, abandoned.
Right. Left behind without protection.
They get dumped somewhere, and I think we need to stress, please don't do that. Don't abandon your animals.
So to try to pick them up and take care of them.
Right.
Now, Hazel, you've got four dogs and you can't take care of any more, but he had 27 animals. He had a bigger place than yours, right?
Well, I can still take care of the dogs. It's a handful sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, if you could have done a big place, it would be different, though.
So maybe I could get a few more after all.
I think you're okay for now. But, you know, he tried to do that, but that wasn't really just taking care of these abandoned animals wasn't really enough to meet the need. Isn't that right?
Right.
So they started a business of rescuing animals. And how did they figure out they could do that?
They figured they could save more animals by offering low prices rather than just holding them. They can treat them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a good idea. I mean, they said, well, let's help more people to take care of their, because we can't take all these animals, but we'll help people so they can keep their animals.
Right. So perhaps a lot of people would welcome a pet, but they know that the medical expenses are too high, so they didn't get one. But now they realize they could have a pet if the cost was low. So instead of keeping all these animals, they would maybe find homes for them.
Well, that sounds like, really that he had the right idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done a good job in that way. And like you said, we still need vets with good equipment that can take ultrasound. And, you know, they can't always have all of that in the clinic. But sometimes maybe they do. But to try to help those people that cannot afford those expensive things, that's what he tries to do.
Right. And we know that perhaps this is a good business model, but he's pumped a lot of his own money into it.
Right.
So it's not for everybody.
Well, at the beginning, you know, but now if he has more of a volume, you know, high volume, then makes lower cost.
Right.
Too.
That's right.
So this man really does have a passion. He's the founder and the owner, Gary Silverglatt. And there's a picture of him outside of his express place. Okay, if you go there, you can say, oh, yeah, I saw your picture in studio class. Right? Well, actually, this idea started to have what we call momentum. And what does momentum mean?
Grows and grows.
Grows fast, yeah. More and more and more.
Right, the force that gives some energy.
Yeah, it goes faster, it gets growing and growing. So let's find out. We could call this traction or momentum, and it's got started, and it took off, and it grew. Let's read the second paragraph on page 15.
Gaining traction. Silverglatt's business gained momentum when he partnered with Lamar Advertising, one of the nation's largest outdoor advertising companies, to spread the word. Despite the competition from private practice veterinarians and emergency clinics, Angels Vet Express Care has managed to recruit top-notch veterinarians from around the country to tend to clients. The clinic operates with 5 full-time veterinarians, 2 part-time veterinarians, a support staff of 30, and a handful of volunteers. Angels Vet Express Care's departure from the traditional veterinary clinic model has resulted in clients bringing in about 60,000 animals annually. On any given day, Silverglatt said, there are about 50 cars in the clinic's parking lot, representing all demographic levels. It's difficult to pull it off, Silverglatt said of his business model. It takes a big personal investment, partnerships within the community, and special pricing from veterinary drug manufacturers to make it work. But in the end, we figured we could do more for the animals by treating them rather than holding them.
Now, the reason that he joined with this advertising company was to help people know more about it. He wanted to spread the word. Now, what do advertising companies really do for you?
Well, they let people know you're in business and that you want customers or that they have a product that you want.
Chinese say, Zhimengdu. People know about what they are. And this is good. And now, if something is good, it can spread the word from one person to another. They tell their friends. But if you really want to, then you got to get it on the web or the internet or the advertising agencies. So he joined together. He partnered with this advertising agency. And it's one of America's largest outdoor advertising companies. I don't know much about it because we live in Asia. But anyway, there's a lot of big advertising companies, and they help let people know. If you have an animal that needs help, go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
Just spread the word.
Spread the word.
What word?
Well, message. There's a place that you can get your animals
right.
treated for less. And now that's advertising is a little bit opposite of word of mouth. If you
that's
say
right.
that, you're just telling each other.
It's
a great deal. And so that
advertising is, she spreads the word by communicating
right.
it to a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
right?
To let everyone know.
Mm-hmm. So they did join together with them, and that helped him quite a bit because otherwise people might not know about this place.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know. How are they going to know?
Right.
So that really helped. But they did have a little competition from these private practice veterinarian agencies because they want to get good vets, but sometimes maybe they couldn't pay as high salaries as these high, top-notch companies.
Well, maybe not, but they've managed to recruit top-notch veterinarians. So top-notch is very well qualified.
The ILEO, the number one
mm-hmm.
from around the world, from around the country, and they take care of them. They tend to their clients. They take care of them.
Right. If you tend to something, you can tend to business. You take care of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, this clinic has 5 full-time vets. That's quite a few, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, it is.
And some part-time ones. And then they have a lot of other support staff that registers them or whatever they have to do some of these jobs. Deworm them.
Appointments. Maybe
yeah.
keeps files on the
Well,
clients.
Maybe they have to do things like, you know, give them shots and things. They might not be a vet,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah. So they got quite a big thing going there, don't they?
Right. Clean up after the dogs.
A lot of cleaning to do.
Yeah, and make the telephone calls and make the appointments
exactly.
and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. But they are not like the regular vet clinics. So their departure from means that they go away from. They're different than the traditional models. And it says that they bring in at least 60,000. Now, yesterday it said over here on page 14 that they treat about 100,000 animals. I wonder why there's a difference here.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but, you know, maybe some people come and get the medication
right.
so that they could treat their animals at home.
Well,
I
that's
know,
true, yeah.
For for deworming, I just go to the hospital, the veterinarian, and get the medicine, and I treat my dogs at home. So it could be that they supply medicines and things for
them. Well, and maybe they have some regular clients to come in for certain things, and others just come in for emergencies or something. So maybe 100,000 might come in, but their regular clients are 60. I don't know why there's a difference there, but we didn't write the article. I'm just trying to teach it. But, anyway, that's a lot of animals.
Right.
Either way,
it's a lot.
It's a lot of animals.
And we see that any given day, you might look out and see 50 cars in the parking lot.
I like that expression, any given day.
Yeah.
We use that sometimes when we're writing about, just to say any day or any time that you mention that there'll be people there. Monday to Friday to Saturday, there'll be people there.
So it's a more interesting way than to write on average.
Right.
There's 50 cars.
That's true.
Yeah.
On any given day, yeah.
Big parking lot.
50 cars. That's a pretty big parking lot, right?
And you can tell, so they may have 10 veterinarians, but still, if you've got 50 clients,
that's a lot, yeah.
That might be waiting.
Well, and you know, the people that come there, there's a lot of poorer people, that's true. But there's other people that would go there, too. So it's people from all demographic levels. What are demographic levels?
Demographic is just the study of the population based on age, race,
and money, and salaries.
Right.
So there might be poor people and rich people and, you know, business people and housewives, any kind of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that represents all kinds of people that come there.
That's right.
They don't just say just all the poor people go there either.
Right.
Because it's a very good service, mm-hmm. and a lot of people go there.
Yes.
Well, do you think that that's easy to do something like that, Hazel?
Well, no. We see in the next paragraph it's difficult to pull it off. To pull something off is to make something happen, to make something to be successful.
Right. It takes a lot of personal investment and partnership like he did with this advertising mm-hmm. company. And what else?
And
the special pricing, they ask the vets, we're a nonprofit. Can we have a different price for a medicine? Because the medicine costs a lot, too, for vets.
That's exactly right. So the drug companies perhaps partner with them and make the price less, give them a discount.
And in the end, they decided they could do more for the animals by helping them instead of holding them. In other words, we can't take in all the stray animals and have a big farm for them, but we can help people take care of their vets. So that's his philosophy.
Right. Then the pet owners are happier, the pets are happier, everybody's happier, we hope.
So they pulled it off. They made it work.
Yes.
They
Great.
Pulled it off. And it says over here that there's a picture over here. Look at. Let's read what it says under the picture, Silverglass Best Fan. Would you like to read some of that?
Okay, I'll read some of it. Kathy Turner, an animal control officer in Cameron, Missouri, is one of Silverglatt's biggest fans. Thanks to affordable care she can obtain for the dogs she uses in the Missouri Department of Corrections, Puppies for Parole Program.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, they give people, I think, people that are in prison or perhaps on parole, little puppies to train, and it gives them a purpose. And it gives them a partner, and it seems to be a very good idea.
So she can get some of those animals that they can use for training in the prisons from this place. That's a good idea.
Right.
A good partnership,
right.
isn't it?
Some of her cost would be medical care for the dogs, so it's good.
That's true. What else does it say about the program?
It says the program made possible through partnerships with animal shelters and animal advocacy groups statewide allows select offenders the opportunity to train rescue dogs.
Now that word advocacy groups is interesting. That means groups that will promote the welfare for animals, right?
Like public support.
Public support, right.
Speak out for.
So certain offenders or people in prison, they can train these rescue dogs, and said if it weren't for Angels of Vet Express Care, we wouldn't have the program, she said. In fact, we don't have enough dogs in Cameron for the program, So we bring in dogs from around the state that would ordinarily be euthanized. Mm. Oh, that's a sad term.
Right. So instead of putting the dogs to sleep, which is a polite way to say
kill them,
lives or kill them, they bring those dogs in and it helps prisoners. So it's a win-win situation. And thanks to the Angels Vet Care, they can do that. They can afford to do that.
So that gives us a lot of different viewpoints. If people bring their animals in, the animals can be used to train people that they're doing in prison programs to help prisoners learn how to train dogs. Some of these dogs will work at the airports for sniffing for drugs, and they have all kinds of things to train mm-hmm. dogs for. And these prisoners can do that.
Right, and I think that's awesome because it's not just helping the dog, but it's really a healing process for the offenders.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So this man, I think, has got a good vision. He's working hard at it. And his idea is the main purpose of this is to have vet care that people can afford. And I think that's a good purpose.
Really? Yes.
So thanks for being with us for this article. Now, tomorrow we're having a different article, but it also is about animals. It's an interesting story, and we always like stories. This is a true story. So be sure and come tomorrow as we talk about some animal that was used to help a child. That'll be fun. So be sure and come back.
We'll be here.
Yes. See you tomorrow.
Goodbye now.
Bye-bye.